Hey, it's Latif from Radiolab. Our goal with each episode is to make you think, how did I live this long and not know that? Radiolab, adventures on the edge of what we think we know. Listen wherever you get podcasts.
California is on fire again. This month, fires in the state have burned more than 200,000 acres from Santa Barbara to Butte County in Northern California. So far, the fires have forced thousands of people to evacuate and destroyed dozens of homes. Just yesterday, California Governor Jerry Brown declared a state of emergency in Mariposa County outside of Yosemite National Park, where County Sheriff Doug Binweiss told KFSN-TV that responders are dealing with a new kind of wildfire.
Can't emphasize enough how active and erratic this fire activity is, especially with this fire. It's done stuff that we haven't seen before.
Something they haven't seen before in Mariposa County, but according to Gary Ferguson, it's the new normal of more intense, hotter, and more frequent wildfires. Ferguson is author of Land on Fire, The New Reality of Wildfire in the West, and he says the nature of wildfire has changed dramatically because of humans.
Since the new millennium, 2000, we have had 10 fire seasons with over a dozen so-called megafires, which are defined as single incidents of over 100,000 acres. That's a phenomenal increase. So the fires are, in general, burning bigger and hotter, and they have more lasting side effects, both to the communities that are near these fires as well as to the landscapes themselves. Part of this is due to an increase in fuel loads through the 20th century, and that is coming smack up against climate change. So it's a bit of a perfect storm leading to these so-called mega fires.
You also talk about how the nature of the western forest itself has changed since the 1800s.
You know, because of harvesting activity and certainly because we fought fires so aggressively through the 20th century, we've got an accumulation of what's called fuel load in the forest. It's important for your listeners to understand that in the West, the arid West, plants and trees decompose not by the micro processes that are present in wetter climates, but really through fire. And so through that aggressive suppression especially, we're now sitting on 300 million acres, and that's roughly three times the size of California, with unnaturally heavy fuel loads. And those fuel loads are really the most significant change in the forest since certainly the mid-1800s.
Now, wait a second. When I was a kid, and I guess even into today, there were massive public relations campaigns, of course, with Smokey the Bear. Only you can prevent forest fires. Preventing them and fighting them was a big deal. Are you suggesting that this wasn't the best idea for the health of the Western forest?
Well, it's a good idea in a lot of circumstances, but in America, we love to declare war on things, and we literally did declare war on wildfire. Unfortunately, the West, the forest that you walk through today and you see, was shaped over thousands of years by these lesser so-called stand maintenance fires, which nature would trigger off about every 8 or 10 or 12 years. And those smaller, lower temperature fires would burn through the forest and check diseases and insects, and also clean that forest debris off the ground. So by being a little over-enthusiastic, we've created this really difficult situation now that we're struggling mightily to try to remedy with things like thinning and prescribed burning. So it wasn't that it was bad to put out fires, but we got a little over-eager.
Well, how have they changed, the fires themselves?
Because of the increased fuel load and because of drier, warmer conditions, severe droughts, again, much of this related to human-caused climate change, the fires are burning instead of, say, 1,200 or 1,300 degrees, which these stand maintenance fires of hundreds of years ago would have burned at. Now they're burning at 2,000, 2,200 degrees. They're becoming so large that they're creating their own weather systems and often wind systems. This makes them not only advance very quickly, but it puts wildfire fighters' lives in jeopardy. It's interesting to note that wildland firefighters only make up about 5% of career firefighters, but their death rate is about six times higher. There's been a pretty significant increase in firefighter deaths because of just the size and the unpredictable nature of wildfire when it gets to a certain size, what this is causing as far as the danger level, and lots of potential destruction and actual destruction to nearby communities that live on the edge of these national forests.
And let's talk about those communities, because they're a critical piece in the puzzle here. You mentioned fires that burn hotter and longer, fire seasons that are longer and drier, not to mention a dirtier forest floor, frankly, with lots of fuel in it. People are also living right up against the places where these fires take place. That means property damage. That means a risk to humans as they flee, and also a risk to firefighters who have to get in there and try to protect towns.
There's something called the wildland-urban interface, which really is easily defined by any structure, mostly homes, that come up against large swaths of natural vegetation. And out of about 2.3 billion acres in the United States, believe it or not, a billion of those, about 40% of the American landscape, is in this wildland-urban interface. Tremendous growth. The wildland-urban interface is growing as far as developments at a rate of about 4,000 acres a day, well over a million acres a year. And thus far, it's only been developed to a degree of about 24%. So we have 86% of that wildland-urban interface still to be developed.
So if humans continue to build near the interface zone, which I think we're pretty sure they're going to, Gary, what does the future of living with fire look like in America with all of these factors that you've described?
Well, existing communities can certainly, with a little help from the Forest Service or local fire departments, start actively managing their homes and their developments with thinning operations around the developments. They can put non-flammable materials in a five-foot apron around their houses. They can put screened vents over their attic. Very simple things that have tremendous effect. Now, ultimately, these big fires are just going to keep burning, and they're going to keep knocking on the doors of these subdivisions, and they're going to threaten ranch lands, and they're going to change the face of the forest that we've loved for a very long time. And I would imagine at some point, hopefully sooner than later, we'll be willing to simply get real and start discussing what we can do, not just to make the forest less flammable or less subject to these big fires, but also to take responsibility for climate change, so that the folks who are living in the West 50 years or 100 years from now actually have a habitable landscape to call home.
The book is Land on Fire, The New Reality of Wildfire in the West. Author Gary Ferguson, thank you.
Thanks, Todd. It's been a pleasure.